Thank you, Keith. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to welcome you into church today. And any who have not been here for some time, we welcome you back. And we welcome Peter, who is able to join us again. It's good to have you with us. Welcome. Today is a new day, a new week, a new month, and as we've heard, a new lockdown coming on Thursday. So isn't it especially good to be able to be here together with one another in worship, knowing that we won't be able to do that this coming Sunday or for a few weeks? So a very warm welcome to you all. Today is All Saints' Day, and we rejoice that the darkness and hopelessness of Halloween has given way to the light and joy of this day. And as we worship today, we join that great cloud of witnesses in heaven, those who have gone before us. And we think of them in our first hymn, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. We'll remain seated as we listen to these words and join in their praise. Let us pray. Everlasting God, you have called us to this rich hope and a glorious inheritance among the saints. A wondrous story indeed. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Looking back, your goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. And today you raise us up. You gently lead us on good and right pathways. We are sorry for the times when we have turned away from you, and for our failure to love others as you have loved us. A moment of quiet confession. In your mercy, you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. He lived our life, died our death upon the cross, and was raised back to life again. He reigns forever over all, and he will return in glory. With gratitude, we receive your forgiveness and love in our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our first Bible reading, we capture a vision of the worship of heaven. We hear from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, and Kay will please read to us.
Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped.
And this worship is happening now in heaven, a song that cannot be silenced. And although we can't sing, we can worship, and our music group are going to lead us in worship as we give God the glory.
I invite you to stand if you're able as we worship God together.
Seated. Thank you for leading us. We listen to our second reading set for today, the Old Testament reading, and the background story is that Moses has died and Joshua has taken over as leader of the people of God as they prepare to enter the promised land. We hear the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now, then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. We thank God for his acts of wonders. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a mighty deliverer of old and of today. And at this crossing point for our nation, and in the crossing points of our lives today, we need your power and your deliverance. We pray that as we reflect on this great wonder of the crossing of the Jordan, you will speak to our hearts and lives today, and speak to our need, that we may marvel at your wonders and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to put a picture on the screen which illustrates the moment of the priests standing there in the middle of the River Jordan, holding the Ark of the Covenant as the nation begins to contemplate the crossing to the Promised Land. And today I'd like us to stand with those priests for a moment and grasp what it means at those times in our lives, looking back and also today, when God calls us just to stand still, to stand firm. And I want to draw out 3 points from this chapter. Firstly, I want to say that we are to stand firm for others, just like those priests were doing. we picture them in obedience to God and in service to God's people. There they were, up to their ankles in mud, and no doubt casting anxious glances upstream, wondering if they were going to be kept safe, wondering if their precious cargo, the dwelling place of God himself, would be safe. We were told the River Jordan at that time was swollen and its banks were overflowing. And this week in Cornwall, we had a picture of how wild the sea and the waves can get at this time. They were in a dangerous place. But they did what was asked of them. And the waters were held back. And they stood there, probably for hours on end, as the people crossed over. And perhaps those priests complained to Joshua, saying, "Can't you get us out of here? We want to get ashore and get on with the job. We want to get to the promised land." To which Joshua might have replied, "For the time being, standing still, standing firm is your job. Do it." And I like to think that these priests encouraged one another. And the crowds of men, women, and children as they filed past gave encouragement as well. They did it for God, and they did it for the love of God's people. And I want to say it's the same with us. There are times when we are to stand firm, not just for ourselves in the faith, but to stand firm for others. Sometimes, as God's priestly ones, we are led to the very brink, and we look behind us at the chilling waters that would threaten to overwhelm us or our loved ones and swamp us. We look for a way through. We seek instruction and guidance. At those times, like the Israelites, we are in uncharted waters. You have not passed this way before. How true for us in this ongoing pandemic, with the waves of disease rising higher. And though we go into lockdown again, it will be different. You have not passed this way before. We must believe we're not going back, but we are going forward into the next phase of God's deliverance. God is in control. God is still holding back the waters today. We must believe that God will provide a way where there is no way, that we will not be overwhelmed. And yes, with those priests as his people, we might find ourselves in the middle of the mud and the mess. And all we can do, all we need to do, friends, is to stand firm in our faith. It takes great courage. It takes devotion. And it takes encouragement, both given and received. And we'll need to keep on encouraging us and one another in this next season of lockdown. And in that time, is there somebody that you can stand in the gap for? Who can you stand in the gap for? So stand firm for others. And then secondly, like those priests, we stand firm in hope, in great hope. And we need hope when we're in the middle of no man's land, which we are as a nation. The Methodist theologian Harry McKeating called these priests the men who stand nowhere. He wrote, "Behind them are the great days of the Red Sea crossing and the wilderness, of Sinai and its thunders and the giving of the law. Behind them the manna and the water from the rock. Ahead are the great days of conquest, of king-making, of temple-building, of the making of another holy mountain to match the one they have left. But they have not yet come to Mount Zion or the city of the living God." He concludes, "For the people of God, the great days are usually yesterday and tomorrow." We stand between yesterday and tomorrow. We are the ones who stand in the gap, in the middle of God's sweeping story of salvation, which will be fulfilled. We stand firm with hope, and never more so than today, All Saints' Day. All Saints' Day is a reminder that we take our place in that great march of the people of God. With a countless number ahead of us, countless alongside us as the church today, and countless behind us, yet unborn. The people of God on the move. But we stand firm today, stand firm in hope that when our turn comes to cross the River Jordan, which Wesley described not as a mighty broad sea, but as the narrow stream of death. That sounds more doable. When we cross the narrow stream of death, he will bring us into his eternal home, the promised land. Charles Wesley wrote, "Part of his host have crossed the flood, and part are crossing now. Come, Lord of hosts, the waves divide, and land us all in heaven." Yes, we struggle today. It's tough. But we have this strong hope that there is an end to our struggle. We're not just soldiering on, we have a destination. Faith will not be forever. One day we will see face to face, and we will know as we are fully known. On All Saints, we are reminded of our loved ones who have died. We mourn them, but we rejoice with gladness and strong hope that they stand with the countless multitude before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands, declaring aloud, "Salvation belongs to our God." Their hope is your hope. Their heavenly home shall be your heavenly home. So with this great anticipation and promise, let us stand firm with strong hope and trust. Tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things for you. And lastly, to say that we can do this because we stand firm with God. In these coming weeks, if we're in solitude, you won't be alone. God will stand with you. The Israelites knew it because they had the Ark of the Covenant that didn't just show people the way, it was the dwelling of God and it made the way. Then and now, God goes ahead of his people and makes the way for us. We couldn't do it without God. We can't face these next few weeks without him. We'll have to lean hard on God. We would be overwhelmed. We couldn't put one foot in front of another without God. But we see things different. In their mind, God was confined to that box. They must not go near him, near God, in holy awe and fear. But this side of the cross, and in the, from the New Testament view, we know that God is the Lord of heaven and earth, who cannot be confined to a wooden box, cannot be confined to a wooden church. And that's why we know our worship and service will continue when the doors of this church close again. God will still be at work. His living presence can be found wherever we call out to him, wherever we call on his name. And he walks in our shoes. In Jesus, his Son, God has stepped down and got his feet dirty with us in the mud and the mess of our humanity. Jesus has been there. His cross and his empty tomb show that he has crossed the waters of death and has kept them at bay until all of God's children are safely over. So listen for his word of reassurance today. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Words of Isaiah 43. So you can depend on him in these coming weeks. His Holy Spirit will strengthen you for each task and each hour. In this time ahead, whatever comes your way, wherever you find yourself, know that God is calling you to stand firm. To stand firm for others in the gap. To stand firm in hope. God is true to his word. And stand firm knowing that God stands right there with you. And he will carry you through. Amen. A moment of quiet prayer as we respond to what God has been speaking into our hearts this morning.
We're going to use the words to this next song as our response to what we've heard this morning. We'll remain seated. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up and till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. I'm surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so. The goodness of God.
Thank you for leading us in those wonderful words that we join in with our hearts, and one day we will join in with our voices. Let's pray together. Faithful God, we pray to you in the name and in the power of Jesus. Just like your people of old, we desperately need your deliverance. We pray again that you will drive out the enemy of COVID-19 from your world and help us to work with you and not against you. Deliver us from evil, we pray. We pray for security, freedom, and peace in our world. We pray for the people of the United States in their election week. And in this time of testing and trial, we pray for our government and for all who make decisions that set the direction of our lives. We give thanks and pray for our National Health Service and all care workers and key workers who stand in the gap for others. And we pray for your church. Lord, at times when we will be apart again, we pray that your Holy Spirit will unite us in fellowship and care. That you will show us what to do and how to serve. You are the only hope for our world, for our town and villages. We pray for all who suffer today in body, mind, or spirit. Remembering again Anne Goodchild's mum, who needs our prayers today. We pray for all who mourn the loss of loved ones, that they may be consoled and strengthened with the love of Jesus. We pray for those who face death. Grant them and their loved ones courage and give them the hope that life is eternal. And we pray for ourselves and our own needs this day. Be with us when we suffer loss and ache with the pain of grieving. Give us a glimpse of the way it will be when love will never be taken away, when life itself will not be diminished, and when all that we hold most precious will live and remain with us forever. We ask these prayers, spoken and unspoken, through Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Next Sunday will be Remembrance Sunday, and we will not be in church to have our usual act of remembrance. But I feel it is right that as a church we Remember the men and boys of this church and Sunday school who gave their lives in the First World War and the Second World War, and the 140 men from our town who never came home. So we're going to put on the screen now the photograph of our memorial plaque now in the church hall. And I invite you to stand with me now as we remember them with thanksgiving. And I ask Joe to bring forward the cross of poppies. Then we will have a moment of silence, and I will read the poem For the Fallen, which has the last line, "We will remember them." And I invite you to repeat that line at the time. In loving memory, we remember the lives of Clement Rush, Pem Mills, Clifford Sizer, Alfred Webb, Peter Mead, Victor Chapman, John Claydon, Elias Lloyd, Arthur Beavis, John Jobson, in 2020, they are remembered. Let us keep a minute's silence. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. And so we come to our final hymn today, a hymn of hope, a hymn of promise. And the words of this hymn were filmed in Wales. So we have a massed choir of men and women singing for us today the great hymn, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." We offer our lives and our gifts to the Lord. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, might and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before all time, now, and forevermore. Amen. We pray the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.